I am Jim Rome. I'm live. I'm in Southern California. And in this last segment, we're changing up. We're talking basketball. I'm joined by a senior writer for Yahoo. He previously covered the Bulls for NBC Sports Chicago. He covered the Pistons for the Detroit News. He is still the pride of the D. He is Vincent Goodwill. Vincent, what's going on? Good to have you back. How are you?
Hey, Rome, always good to be on with you, man.
Dude, I appreciate you. Great to have you back. So the last time everybody saw Ben Simmons in a Sixers jersey, let me start right there. He was passing up that dunk in Game 7 against Atlanta. At that point, it seemed like the city of Philadelphia was completely over this guy. Now he's the one, Vincent, saying that he's done with them. What do you make of how this whole thing has played out?
I think it's almost a masterful job by Rich Paul to say, hey, even though I'm going to kind of forget that y'all don't want us back, we're going to say that we don't want to be there with y'all. It's like relationship psychology at this point between both sides. You got Doc Rivers come out and saying yesterday, no, I didn't say what y'all said, even though it's on video and everything else. And I don't fault Doc on either's end of it. After the emotion of a game seven, where your second best player has completed a series where he had made one field goal in the last five games in the fourth quarter. Like, you can't have that regardless of what the situation is. Like, you can't win series like that. So I do think that part of it is them choosing Joel Embiid over Ben Simmons. You cannot build with both. I think you have to build with one. And I do think that Ben Simmons is going to be in a much better situation that's going to, I guess, tailor to his talents, maybe hide some of those, you know, some of those weak spots, all of those weak spots. I think you're going to see the best basketball of his career should he, once he gets traded. But I think this is a relationship that went sour that day in whatever it was, May or June. We could all see it that night that he was not going to be returned.
You know, kind of like, yeah, you can't fire me. I quit. You can't fire me. I quit. Vincent Goodwill joining us. I agree with you. So what about those issues, like the shooting issues in your mind? His shooting issues, are they mechanical or are they mental, and can it be solved?
It's both. And for me, it's less about, Jim, you know, him shooting threes and everything else. If he had confidence in being able to go to the line and shoot free throws, that turns you into a more aggressive player. That turns you into a player that in the fourth quarter, you can go downhill, because if you get fouled, you're not worried about what happens when you go to the line. We can look at Giannis and say, man, he's not a great shooter by any stretch of the imagination, but he don't scare. He's not afraid to go to the line. He's not afraid to airball a free throw. He's not afraid for the 10-second shot clock to run out on him. He's going to do what he does because he doesn't have that mechanism inside. Ben Simmons apparently does. And we can focus on mental health and everything else, and that's a whole new frontier. But when you see it manifest itself on the floor, you have to say, okay, what is the solution going to be here? Are you going to go through psychology, which I've heard that he's actually done? Are you going to go to one of those shot doctors where you basically go from soup to nuts? You go from your base to your release and figure out if this is the right place for you. To me, I think it's all of it. And to me, Jim, if you look at his numbers and you look at his game, he's the exact same player that he was when he was a second-year rookie. You got to try damn hard to be that talented and that gifted and to be the same exact player 4 years in.
Vincent Goodwill joining us. Listen, one more thought about him. You had what I thought was a great Twitter video earlier this week where you broke down the situation and you had spoken to teams that might be interested in him to get the background research that they had done on him. Summarize that for those who missed it. What have they concluded from their research, those teams?
Well, I've talked to a number of, you know, GMs and GM types, and the first thing that they say is they started and finished it by saying this: I can do this job for the next 10 or 15 years, and I won't be able to get my hands on a talent like Ben Simmons. And between those two statements, they say, we hear that he's not a worker. We hear that he's Hollywood. Some teams are willing to put up with the Hollywood because, hey, it may be exactly where they are or it may be where they're not. But not being a worker is a little bit tougher, especially if you're on a younger team and you got a guy coming in making that type of money and he's not putting in the work. What type of culture are you setting? Or if you've got a team that's a more veteran team and he's making that type of money, can he assimilate himself to what you do? Can he assimilate himself into the culture? I think you would see more of a veteran team, more of a team that's ready and willing to win, being able to take a chance rather than a younger team. Maybe a team that's a little more obscure, who won't be able to get their hands on a superstar unless it's through the draft because free agency doesn't work out for them, that type of team, or a team that feels like they're on the cusp of championship contention. I think the market will be robust to a degree. I'm just not sure if Daryl Morey, the Sixers GM, will be able to lower the asking price to get anyone to seriously contend.
Vincent Goodwill is joining us right now. Really interesting stuff. Let me ask you while I still have you. The Lakers overhauled their roster this offseason. Now that you've had some time to kind of think about this, marinate on this, how do you see those pieces fitting together? How does that look and feel to you?
It looks and feels disjointed from October to like April. Now, May and June may be a total different story, right? Because we're talking about, you know, we're talking about the Golden Girls. We're talking about, you know, the old guys who are going to have to figure some things out, you know, to start the season, whether there's low management or, you know, just injury concerns. Yeah, to me, that's something. I'm not sure, Jim, that last year's roster needed a complete overhaul. That team was still one of the best teams. That was the best team defensively. And, yeah, you were heavily reliant on Anthony Davis being healthy. But guess what? You're overly reliant on Anthony Davis and LeBron James being healthy. So whatever injury concerns you had last year, I don't know if bringing in Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony, the cast of characters this season, makes you an exponentially better team than you were as a defending champion last season. I thought they were in pretty good shape, all things considered, until LeBron turned his ankle. And if LeBron turns his ankle again this year, guess what? They'll be in the same exact predicament.
Vincent Goodwill joining us. All right, so one more point about that. As you've written, quote, one wonders how the perfectionist in LeBron will deal with the randomness that comes in the beauty that is Russell Westbrook. How do you see then the pair of them working together?
Maybe LeBron takes like a Xanax before the game to calm his nerves. You know what I mean? Maybe he does something like that to say, okay, the first four turnovers, you're just going to have to let slide because you got to let Russ be Russ. But I don't know how long that lasts. I think there's a certain level of healthy respect that they have with each other as competitors because he knows that Russ is going to bring it, at least on one end. Every night he's going to go hard. Even if you think it's selfish, you can't say that Russ cheats you from the standpoint of effort and actually putting something on his name. Now, the perfectionist in LeBron, when it comes down to the last 4 or 5 minutes, that's where you're going to see less tolerance. That's where you're going to see LeBron say, okay, you know what? I can't go down in the post. I can't play the wing. I have to handle the ball, and Russ and everybody else is going to have to figure out how you orbit around me because I'm running this. I don't think the first 43 minutes are going to mean much, Jim. I think it's going to be the last five.
I like that. I like that as part of the preparation. It's not a matter of all right, how are we going to make this thing work. I'm just going to pill up. I'm just going to pill up before the game with a Xanax, man. That actually makes sense. Vincent, really quickly, there's another situation. We talked about the Sixers. They're not the only ones with a challenging situation on their hands. The T-Wolves have one, too. They fired their team president of basketball ops right before the start of training camp. I know you had a conversation with Carl Anthony Towns last week as well. The topic of stability came up. How does that conversation look and feel now a few days later?
I don't think he knew what was going on at the time, Jim. You know, necessarily, I'm sure that the new ownership was coming in and doing a clean sort of sweep and radar and scan of everything organizationally. But he did say he did like the opportunity to be able to voice his say, to have more say and not just be a guy that's out there playing and going home. Now the problem is if you have that relationship with Gerson Rosas, he's gone now, and you've got all this internal drama and everything else. You don't know how the next season is going to play. Now, to be fair, Carl Anthony Towns has not led a team on his own to the playoffs in his 6 years. The 1 year he did it, that was a Jimmy Butler team, and he was like the 1 or 1A guy. So he's got a lot that he has to prove himself, but at the same time, that organization has to provide some stability for him because he said, all I'm used to is instability, and that part is not his fault.
Hey, listen, one last thought. I mean, to your point, that's fair. He has not led them anywhere without the help of Jimmy Butler, but man, this is a good player. This is a really good player, if you ask me, and I don't even think that he gets the credit that he deserves. Is there then a concern that his talent might be wasting away in Minnesota because he's already entering his seventh year?
Absolutely, there's a concern, and sometimes you don't know if what you're seeing is good player, bad team, or empty numbers. You're not sure if this is another Kevin Love situation where a guy's 26-13 and then he goes to play with LeBron and all of a sudden he's the third wheel and you're questioning how good are those numbers. I don't think necessarily that way about Cat, but I understand that those are the questions. And there's so many talented players in today's league, Jim. Everybody can put up 20 on a given night. Now, can guys put up 26, 13, and 5 and shoot 40 from 3 as a 7-footer? I'm not sure, but you have to be able to do that in an environment conducive to winning. They just haven't put an environment conducive to winning around him.
Hey, so really quickly, a point you made about Kevin Love being a third wheel, like, relate that back to Ben Simmons. What do you think that he wants? Does he want to be a number one guy? Does he want to be a number two guy? Or does he want something else?
48 shots, 48 minutes, 48 women. That's what they all want, Jim. I don't think it's a number three. I don't think he's one of those guys.
I think
he fancies himself as a number one. Now, I think he might be better suited as a number three because you don't depend on him as much and he won't face the scrutiny. But I think he views himself as a number one. I think to some degree he could be a number one because you're building everything around him. You're covering up those weaknesses. You're bringing him shooting. You're bringing him rim protection. And you're saying, okay, you know what? Go be Giannis. Go set everything up. Let's play to your skill. I do think that he believes he can be that, especially if he's saying, y'all chose Joel Embiid over me. Let me get up out of here. That means he thinks very highly of himself.
48 shots, 48 minutes, 48 women. Add to that 48 mil per, and you've got a dream life right there. Vincent Goodwill, a Yahoo senior writer, getting it done. My man, that's a great performance by you. Appreciate you, Vincent. Great job. Thanks for closing the show for us.
Hey, always fun, man. Appreciate you, Joe.
You're the best, dude. So good. Vincent Goodwill, not only is he so good, he gets better and better every time I put him on. Such good content.